Today on More to Life, the lies we live by. Whether you're dealing with your own inner critic or other people are running you down, we're going to help you overcome the lies that hold you back. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, the lies we live by. Whether you're dealing with your inner critic or other people are running you down, we're going to help you overcome the lies that hold you back. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. And tell us, do you have a critic in your life? Somebody who runs you down, undermines you, makes you feel like you'll never measure up. Or maybe you're tired of your own inner critic running you down, holding you back, or undermining your confidence. Those messages, whether they come from other people or the voice inside your own head, are the voice of the enemy. We want to help you discover grace-filled ways to overcome those lies that are holding you back. 877-573-7825.
I mean, there are some of our listeners right now who are saying, what do you mean that's the voice of the enemy? No, maybe it's God telling me to be more humble. Maybe it's God calling me on to be better in some area of my life. If you are feeling run down, weakened, less of your best self, less able to work on yourself in a good way, it's the enemy. Because the Holy Spirit shows up with what Christians call conviction, right? The Holy Spirit will come in and say, hey, you're missing the mark here, but this is how you can do better. I, the Holy Spirit, can empower you to walk closer to me, to move in the right direction, to experience the love, the joy, the peace, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and in the way you're living your life. You see the difference? The enemy wants to tear us down, to shackle us from being able to move forward in a positive way, closer to God or the people in our lives in the right way, more of our best and holiest self in the right way. Satan wants to shackle us. We've all experienced it. You know, you have this plan, you're gonna get up in the morning, you're gonna do those things, whatever they are, that you're feeling like you should be doing. And suddenly you have no energy. Then you start to think, oh, well, I can't do that. That was too big a bite for me. I really can't make that change in my life. Who do I think I am? And you get those messages that shackle you down so you don't have the energy, the power, the enthusiasm to do that idea that was in your head that would make you more of your best self. Whereas if the Holy Spirit's in your life, you're hitting the ground running. You're saying, I don't really have the power to do this. I don't have the strength to do this, but God can be my strength. I can move in this direction. The difference is God always gives you a way to move in that direction. But if you're feeling that sense of weight in your life, the I can'ts, let's help you overcome that today and figure it out, because it can be a little difficult. A lot of those messages have been planted there for a long time. So give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And again, tell us, do you have somebody who is a critic in your life? You know, that person who runs you down, undermines you, makes you feel like you're never going to be able to measure up, whether that's a spouse, a parent, maybe an adult child, or even a frenemy. Maybe you're tired of that inner critic that's constantly telling you that you're never going to be enough, that you can't do that thing, or nothing's ever going to change. What are those messages that are holding you back? Let's talk about it at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Or perhaps you're feeling like you're walking with God, you know how to start to do this stuff, but you have somebody in your life that is being undermined, that is feeling run down in a way that you see them just losing any ability to live a good and positive life. They've got those voices, but you're thinking, how do I help this person that I care about, that I love, that's in my life? How do I help them move in God in a way that lets them overcome all these negative messages that they're dealing with? We can help you figure that out today, too. Just give us a call here on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how could it possibly help me deal with either my inner critic or those critics in my life, you've come to the right place. So St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of our bodies and the way he works through salvation history.
The theology of the body reminds us of the power of words by pointing us back to Genesis and how God spoke the word into being. Words have creative power, and God shares that power with us. So we have a responsibility to use the power of words to build each other up, including ourselves, and be co-creators with him, encouraging each other to be whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people, the people we were created to be. But we can also use those words to tear ourselves and others down. As Christians, we are called to use words carefully and to have a well-trained tongue and mind.
You know, the theology of the body reminds us that biology is theology. So God's design of the body teaches us how he meant for us to be treated and to treat others. Well, brain science shows that when we're criticized, either by ourselves or others, the brain locks down in response to that perceived threat. It produces chemicals that actually prevent new neurons from forming or new neural connections from being made. So rather than putting energy into learning, growing, and changing, under criticism, the brain focuses all its energy on surviving what it perceives to be the attack, regardless of who it's coming from, whether it's somebody else or us attacking ourselves. And the more we beat up on ourselves, or the more others beat up on us, the more stuck we actually become. But when we are treated with openness, acceptance, and love, especially in the face of our mistakes or weaknesses, our brain actually produces chemicals that promote neuroplasticity, which is the term for new brain connections being formed. That allows us to learn and grow and thrive. You know, God's design of the body shows that we were made for love, and that we're called to use words to love ourselves and others, so we can encourage each person, including ourselves, to become everything we were created to be. So let's talk about that today and help uproot the lies we tend to live by, those lies that are at the heart of those criticisms, either from others or from ourselves, that own inner critic. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are the word of everlasting life. And we come to you now to ask you for the grace we need to use words well, to use words to build others up, to use words to help us to connect with your grace and discover what we were created to be and the resources to achieve those goals in you. Help us, Lord, to reject those lies that hold us back, that undermine our confidence, that tell us that we can't be enough, that nothing will ever change, that we can't do the things that we're called to do. Help us to know how to deal with those critics in our life who seem to always take joy in running us down or undermining us or thwarting us in some way. Help us to know how to respond to that negativity in a way that allows the power of your grace to flow through our lives so that you might work with us and in us and through us and that your will might be done. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled The Lies We Live By. We're going to talk more about this throughout the program, but you know, those negative voices, that inner critic, or even those cruel and critical comments from the people in our life, they're the voice of the enemy trying to tear us down. Now, that's not to say that everything you do is wonderful all the time. We can recognize our weaknesses and our failings, but in a way that allows us to feel hopeful about what God can accomplish through us. That's different from those criticisms and critics in our life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Matt, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Matt. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi. Thank you. First-time caller. Love your program.
Thank you for that. What can
I
do for you?
I find that in my mind, I'm doing well on so many things. And then once in a while, my wife brings up things that I'm not seeing and not doing well. And it's not a lie. I recognize it. I just don't, like, have this power to accomplish those things. They're finer. The things, paying more attention to her and her needs would be an example where I'll be taking care of the kids just great, really in tune to them, mm-hmm. what they need, setting up things for them. And kind of just leaving my wife to be, you know, just taking care of her in little ways or things that I think are adequate. And she's like, well, I'm not feeling pursued. I'm not feeling loved. And it keeps happening over and over again.
Okay. And you're, what I'm picking up from you is that it always kind of catches you off guard and that you really want her to feel loved or pursued, but you're just not sure, you know, what's missing. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yeah, and I might even have an idea of what's missing, but I it's not consistent, so it loses, it falls back. So we might have a conversation. I understand the importance. It's like, okay, I got this. And then 2 weeks mm-hmm. later, I'm like, well, what did we talk about? And, oh, wow, I did it again. So it's like, it's not even a surprise anymore. I've come to expect it. I'm just waiting for the day that it's going to come up, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, there it is again. You know, I failed at that again.
Matt, first of all, God bless you. You are trying to be a fantastic husband. You're an amazing man of God. The fact that you're humble enough to call in with this problem that so many men all over the world also are dealing with, we thank you for that. I just want to let you know how powerful that is. Second of all, great information for you here. When you two took your vows, the Holy Spirit never came down with a gift of being able to read each other's minds. That is not part of the sacrament of matrimony. So let yourself off the hook. And I'll tell you another thing. If I don't have 89 lists going, I can't remember what I'm supposed to even get at the grocery store, never mind what Greg needs. There's a really simple way to do this together. And it's making the ritual of just talking to each other for a few minutes every morning, even when you're just laying in bed. You pray for each other, and then you just, after you're done praying for each other in the day, you're still just, you know, cuddled up next to each other. You say, what can I do for you today to make you feel loved? What can I do to make your life a little easier and more pleasant? You ask her, then she can ask you, and you work on those things for that day. You don't have to, and so many people think that you have to do this, and so many movies and TV shows have set us up to believe that marriage is a test. If you love me, you'll remember all these things. If you love me, you just know. It's not a test. It's a pursuit of every day, checking in with each other, asking each other what you need first thing in the morning, maybe texting each other from work. Hey, is there anything you need today? Do you need me to be praying for anything? Do you need anything when I'm on the way home from work? How's your day been going? Check in with each other and let your wife, and she needs to be letting you, because you have needs too, a bunch of them. You let each other know you're thinking of how to love one another, but you're not going to try to guess. You're going to ask.
Yeah, and that's a simple practice, and it's a little, it can be a little awkward at first because we're not used to asking for our needs.
No, we're not.
You know? But I have to say, this is something that Lisa and I do every day.
Every day.
The alarm goes off. We kind of roll toward each other. We give each other we give God the day, and we, you know, ask God to help us be the husband and the wife that He wants us to be, the mom and the dad that He wants us to be to our kids, and then, you know, after that, we just kind of ask that question. So, you know, what can I do for you today? Is there something I can do to make your day a little easier, a little more pleasant, make you feel loved? And sometimes, you know, it's just, you know, would you mind just keeping this in prayer, you know, or, you know, there's not a lot that they can think, but, you know, just I'm feeling a little tired today. Could you just be a little, you know, just take me with a grain of salt, you know?
Yeah, check back with me because I know it's going to be a hard day. Check back with me after lunch or check back with me throughout the day because I might need a little bit more support than I'm even giving myself.
You know, sometimes it's, you know, practical things like, you know, would you mind making that call? I'm not going to really have time to do it. Yeah. And it would really mean a lot to me if you did it. And other times it's just, you know, I'm just feeling kind of low, you know, so if there's anything you can think that just remind me that you love me and that I'm not a complete failure, you know, I would really appreciate it.
Exactly.
You know, and just being honest with each other that way, you know, helps, you know, you remember those little things to try to check in with each other. Another exercise that I'd really encourage you to do, and we talk about this in For Better Forever, The Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and I'd really encourage you guys to check that book out. We talk about doing a love list exercise, and it's just a simple thing where, you know, both you and your wife write down, I suggest, it's an arbitrary number, but I suggest 25 things that make you feel cherished. Now, the reason I say cherished is because cherished is a word that refers to us feeling special, right? You know, like feeling taken care of, recognized, acknowledged in some way that, oh, that was really nice. You know, that kind of gives us that gut level sense of that was a surprise, you know. And these are little things, you know, so it's not, you know, I feel cherished when we go away for the weekend. I mean, certainly we do, but we're talking about
and
the things.
And it's not criticisms. It's not, I feel cherished when you pick your socks up off the floor.
Right. You know, but it's, you know, I feel cherished when you remember to, you know, come find me and give me a hug before you leave instead of just like calling out, hey, I'm leaving, you know, as you walk out the door. You know, I feel cherished when you sit on the couch next to me instead of across the room. You know,
I feel cherished when you check in with me and ask what I need in the middle of the day.
But, you know, you're going to find that you'll get through like maybe three or four things and you'll be like, what else can I write down here? And that's usually a sign that, you know, we don't think about what we need, you know? And so just, that's okay. Start with those three things, but then also ask, like, break it down a little bit. Like sometimes people will write down, I feel cherished when you're more affectionate, but there are like 20 different ways you can be more affectionate. Right. And it's like, I feel cherished when you hold my hand and when we're taking a walk, or I feel cherished when you just give me that kiss when we're at the stoplight, or I feel, you know, just writing down those little things that say, I love you, that make you feel like, oh, this my spouse remembered me. So that love list. And then you exchange the list.
You're allowed to keep the cheat sheet.
Right. And then you look at the list and you try to do those things, at least one thing that's kind of easy and one thing that's a little bit of a stretch every day. And just challenge yourselves to do that list. So this way you don't have to be mind readers. You're constantly communicating through that daily question that Lisa was talking about. But then you're also doing the love list exercise that helps you stay creative. And then you can check in with each other periodically because the things on the list can change from time to time. You know, when the kids are little, one of the things on the love list might be, you know, I feel really cherished when you give me 5 minutes alone in the bathroom. You know, but then when the kids get a little bit older, maybe that's not as important. But, you know, so you periodically check in with that. So start with those two things and check out For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage for other creative ideas like that. Matt, God bless you. Yeah, we really thank you for calling in and being humble and asking that question and being, you know, in a place where you really do want to show your wife how much you care about her. And I hope that these simple tips will help you both communicate more effectively about what you need to help bridge that gap. And we're taking your calls today on More to Life on the show titled The Lies We Live By, as we talk about those times when we're dealing with either somebody else's criticism that's tearing us down or our own inner critic Let's talk about how to overcome that tendency to give in to those lies that hold us back and tear us down and make it difficult to be the person God is calling us to be. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. We'll be sharing some insights from the Theology of the Body on the power of words. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Hello, Steve Ray here. We're going to Normandy, France in November to celebrate the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We'll also be in Paris for the opening of the resurrected Notre Dame Cathedral. Join us on a pilgrimage of discovery through the saints and shrines of France. Catherine Laborier and the Miraculous Medal, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the Incorrupt Body of Vincent de Paul, a dinner cruise through Paris on the Seine River, and so much more.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled The Lies We Live By. And whether you're dealing with your own inner critic or other people in your life who are running you down, we want to help you overcome those lies that are holding you back. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute. Hey, Bill. Welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you both.
So it's good to have you with us. And you wanted to share a word from Pope Benedict that talks about the power of words.
This is a word from John Paul II's, I have often called him the dynamic duo, you know, JP2 and Pope Benedict. And this is a word from Benedict about becoming fruitful soil. So he's talking about the concept that we need to reclaim being inwardly recollected, waiting, longing for the word to grow within us. And he says there can be fruitfulness in the church only when we have this character becoming holy soil for the word. Now, I know he's speaking about the big, wide church in a sense, but every family, every relationship in a way is a domestic church, a small icon. And I just love this concept of me receiving the other person as a word for me. And I think as a husband and a father with four kids, I try to really be attentive to this. Like, what's the word my daughter, my son, my spouse is giving me right now? Am I inwardly recollected and am I receiving it the right way? That's when fruitfulness happens in our family as well.
I think it's a beautiful reflection. I guess I'm just wondering, like, when you say that, you know, do you have an example of a time
yeah.
where you were, yeah, please.
So just two nights ago, my 12-year-old, it was way past bedtime, and she was down in the living room, came down, and started opening up a very intense conversation about dynamics at school with different cliques in her girlfriends at school. And part of me wanted to say the word of, it's way past bedtime, it's time to go to bed. But I realized, like, there was something else going on. And as the conversation unfolded, and I tried to kind of become holy soil for her word, tears started to flow, and I realized that my dear Sheila was struggling with a kind of weight put on her by her friends to be the one who's the peacemaker, and tears started flowing, and I thought, wow, thank you, God, I didn't shut this down. We had a moment of intimacy, and that became more fruitful. So that's what I mean. It's not having the sort of words carved in stone, sometimes as a parent, but carved in flesh and also open to receive that word in our hearts of flesh as a parent.
So really being receptive to what God might be doing in the moment between us and that other person, and how can we help them feel truly heard and really respond to the needs that they're trying to express to us, not just maybe listening superficially and concentrating on what we need to get done, but really asking God to help us be the person that they need us to be in that moment so that we can bring out the best in them and create a real connection. Bill, I want to thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to tobinstitute.com. That's tobinstitute.com to learn more about both your in-person and online offerings to help people learn how the theology of the body can help them live more joyful and abundant lives and relationships. Bill, again, thanks for being with us today, sir.
Thank you so much.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, on our show titled The Lies We Live By. You know, that inner critic that's constantly running you down, tearing you down, making you feel like you're not enough or can't make those changes or nothing's ever going to change, or the other people in your life who are criticizing you and running you down. You know, those voices are the voice of the enemy. You know, when the Holy Spirit is challenging us in our weaknesses or our brokenness or our sin, he's always doing it in a way that gives us a sense of hope. He says, look what I want to accomplish in you. Let's do this together. But when the enemy criticizes us, it makes us feel like we'll never get there. We can never be enough or do enough. Let us help you overcome those lies that are holding you back, whether from your inner critic or others.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We have to remember that God gave us a brain, and he did give us talented people in the medical field, some of whom, not all unfortunately, are following the science. And we need to do the same. We need to take precautions and, again, use common sense and our heads. But we can't go around living in fear, not doing what we are called to do. And in many cases, that is to travel, to go see loved ones, to go on a retreat, to maybe go on a pilgrimage. We have to be, at all times, a people of faith. And we have to remember that the phrase, be not afraid, appears some 365 times in Scripture. Coincidence? I think not.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
What is God's first gift to the Church? The Catholic Catechism proclaims God is love, and love is his first gift containing all others. The Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, pours God's love into us. The first effect of love is the forgiveness of sin. The communion of the Holy Spirit in the Church restores the divine likeness that was lost through sin. The Holy Spirit gives us the first fruits of our inheritance, the very life of the Holy Trinity. That fruit is to love, says the Catechism, as God has loved us. The evidence or fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The more we renounce ourselves, the more we live by the Spirit. The mission of Christ and the Holy Spirit is brought to completion in the Church. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When kids misbehave, it's common for parents to ask how they can stop the bad behavior. Usually the answer is some form of punishment. But punishment isn't a silver bullet. Sure, it might stop misbehavior for now, but it's not very effective in the long term. That's because it doesn't help kids heal the harm they've caused, and it doesn't give them the tools they need to handle things differently the next time. St. John Bosco had a better approach to discipline. He viewed discipline as a teaching opportunity, not a control problem. In his approach, parents coach kids through the process of healing the harm their behavior caused. And next, they help kids learn the skills and strategies they need to do better next time. St. Bosco's approach is called discipleship discipline because it treats kids as disciples or learners. It also reminds us of the loving way Jesus taught his own disciples. Discipleship discipline frees parents from being referees, constantly imposing penalties. Instead, parents coach kids through the hard work of improving their game. Discipleship discipline recognizes that parents and kids are really on the same team. To learn more about discipleship discipline, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is titled The Lies We Live By. You know, all of us have these sort of self-limiting beliefs or this inner critic that gets in the way, undermines us, makes us feel like we can't accomplish that goal or make that change. And then, of course, we also have people in our life who seem to enjoy running us down or criticizing us or making us feel like we'll never measure up or be enough. The reality is that those messages, regardless of whether they come from our own head or the voices of other people, they're the lies of the enemy. You know, Jesus tells us that he does not condemn us, that those who live in Christ are not condemned. We are convicted, but not condemned. And what's the difference?
Yeah, because when we talk about, I want to say what the difference is and really define that conviction word, because when we talk about that here, you know, with our legal system, convicted has a very tense feeling to it. It's like you have been convicted for your crime, but that's not what we talk about when we're talking about the Holy Spirit moving in our lives with conviction.
Well, it's exactly right. It's not about being convicted so much as it is having conviction.
Right? Yeah.
So when the Holy Spirit reminds us of our weaknesses or calls up a sin that we're committing or asks us to grow in some way, it comes with a sense of conviction about, you know, I want to make that change. And that would be a good thing to do. I feel hopeful that I can make that change, that God wants to do that thing in me. And so that need to change or heal or overcome a sin or a bad habit or, you know, a failing in some way or make some change, it becomes an opportunity for hope, an experience of grace, even some degree of excitement that God wants to do this in me. So I can confront my weaknesses and limitations and brokenness with a sense of hope that God wants to transform me, and I'm excited to see what he wants to do in me. As opposed to condemnation, which comes from the enemy. And again, whether the enemy is using the voice in my own head or the voice of my parent or my adult kid or my friend or my spouse or you name it, that if that voice is tearing me down, making me feel like I can't do that thing, I won't ever make that change, or it's not even possible to make that change or to do that thing or be enough or be loved or you name it, be forgiven. Those are condemnations. Those are desolations, as St. Ignatius of Loyola would call them, from the enemy that make it difficult for us to be the person God is calling us to be or making it difficult to draw closer to God. And we need to learn to reject those lies, because any time we let those lies run our life, we're basically letting the enemy be the lord of that part of our life.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually letting him step in and become an idol.
Because we're listening to those lies instead of what the Holy Spirit is saying he wants to do and make of in our lives and make of us.
And Satan will actually use our faith against us. You know, as I was saying a little bit earlier, when he's lying to us, he'll say, oh, but if you were really humble, you wouldn't try to do better. Oh, if you were really humble, you'd realize what a worm you are. If you were really a good Christian, you're not good enough as a person of faith to receive God's graces. And it goes on and on.
Well, but, you know, going back to Bill's comment about needing to be the fertile soil that the word is planted in, being humble means being that fertile soil. It doesn't mean running ourselves down. Humble and humus have the same root word. Humus means soil, good soil. It's the soil you want to be if you're soil, right? I mean, you might say, well, I'm dirt. But no, it's not a matter of that. It's I'm really good, fertile dirt, right?
Yeah, that
good stuff
rich,
can grow in.
Wonderful smelling, nutrient nutrient-rich soil to grow our food in.
That's right. And so, you know, being able to be humble enough to recognize that God wants to do amazing things in me by planting his word in my heart, that's what being humble really means. And so, you know, are you struggling with that sense that you can't be forgiven for something? That sense that you aren't lovable, or that you can't make that change, or you're never going to make that happen, or you name it. Those are some of the lies that we live by. We want to help you break free of either that inner critic that's running you down, or the criticisms from others that are holding you back and tearing you down in some way. Let's talk about how to live in the grace of the Spirit and stop living by the lies that are holding you back. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have an email from Sue, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania, on questions@moretolife.com. She said, "My son is dealing with all the negativity of junior high. We're in a very competitive school district, and the teachers push the kids very hard. I think some of it is because they have to show successful test scores for the school. But one teacher especially runs down any student who isn't getting A's and B's, verbally bashing them in the class in front of everyone else. I see this when he is doing homework at night, that if he gets frustrated with his algebra homework, he's actually repeating out loud some of the defeatist things that the teacher is saying out loud in the class. How can I help him come against these messages, especially when the school really encourages the kids to respect their teachers as people of authority? I don't know what to do. I know this is harming him, and I'm afraid it will continue not just now, but over the course of his life, because the messages are so strong." That's Sue in Pennsylvania.
All right, Sue, thanks so much for the question. So we've got basically two issues here, right? The first issue is, how do you help him deal with his teacher? You know, how do you help him think about what the teacher is doing by, you know, this teacher taking this sort of negative approach to, quote-unquote, motivating the students? And the second challenge, and I think even the more important challenge of the two, is how do you help your son not fall into that habit of running himself down or internalizing those negative comments from the teacher? So what I would say, first of all, is you want to recognize the intention of the teacher, but then present a better option to your son and say, "Listen, I know that your teacher is trying to motivate you. I don't think the way the teacher is trying to do it is really the best way, but when your teacher says those things, mm-hmm. I want you to understand the teacher is trying to bring out the best in you. But let me and you're continuing on here. Let me suggest a better way to do this. Now, I'm going to step out of that role play for a second and then just kind of coach you. We tend to think that the opposite of negative thinking or negative feedback is positive thinking and positive feedback. Problem is that research tends to show that positive messages actually increase our negative self-perception sometimes, which sounds weird, right? If I'm saying to myself, "Gosh darn it, I'm good enough and I'm smart enough and people like me," why wouldn't that make me feel good?
Or if you as mom are trying to say that to your son when he's in the midst of feeling torn down because he's struggling with his algebra homework, he's going to have this same reaction all of us do, which is, "Yeah, right."
Right. you don't really get it, right? So if I tell myself affirmations, if I try to say, you know, those positive thoughts, in the back of my head, what I hear is, "Yeah, right, but really?" Or if you, mom, try to be my cheerleader and say, "Come on, you can do this. It's okay. You don't have to beat up on yourself." What I hear is, "Mom just doesn't get it," right? So when we fall into that cheerleader position of trying to tell our kids, or anybody else for that matter, those positive messages, we end up accidentally reinforcing the negative feeling, because all they hear is, "You just don't get it. And this is just one more person who doesn't understand how awful it really is." So what do you do instead? Well, the opposite of negative thinking isn't positive thinking, it's proactive thinking. And what do I mean by that? Well, when you're facing a problem, instead of either beating yourself up about not being able to handle the problem or telling yourself it's all going to be great, what you have to do is be proactive and say, "What steps do I need to take to address this problem? What's the process I can use to accomplish this task or achieve this goal? Let me walk through those steps, right? So your job as mom is to kind of help him learn how to be a proactive thinker. He's getting frustrated about the algebra. So you step in and you say, all right, so look, you're getting frustrated. What are some ways that you can kind of take down your emotional temperature? You need to step away for a minute. Do you need to go grab a quick drink? Do you need to do a problem that's a little bit easier? What do we need to do to help you get your head back in the game? So you help him calm his emotional temperature down so his thinking brain can turn back on and he can do the thing. And then you can say, well, have there been other times when you've been frustrated, but you managed to succeed anyway? Talk to me about that. How can you use those steps here? Or how can we break this problem down into smaller bits? You know, you're helping him think proactively about the thing instead of either getting caught up in the negative thinking or just kind of cheerleading and saying, you can do it, but while making him feel like you just don't get it. So when you're helping him with his work by taking that proactive thinking approach, that's what you really want to be focusing on, by helping him break things down, remember his past successes, and really learn from those successes and apply those lessons to the new situation. You can let him know, as I said at the very beginning, that the teacher's trying to motivate him, but, you know, a lot of people take that negative approach to motivation, and as we were sharing at the top of the show, research really shows that in the presence of criticism, the brain takes that as a threat, and it shuts down its ability to learn and grow and change. It's only when we feel accepted and loved that we are able, that our brain is able to make those changes, produce those chemicals that make neuroplasticity possible and learning and growing and thriving possible. So the more we're able to adopt that more proactive approach to thinking, as opposed to falling into either the positive or negative thinking trap, the more we're able to experience that sense of openness and acceptance and love that allows our brains to produce the chemicals that make learning and growth and change possible. Thanks so much for the question. We do talk about this more in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You can check it out at CatholicCounselors.com, as well as many other resources to help you overcome those negative thoughts. Again, the name of the book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and it's available at CatholicCounselors.com. It's time for our break, and as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
And this is what we've been talking about through the program. You know, when a thought passes through our head, or somebody says something to us, it's really important to take that thought before God, right? And ask, is this thought making it easier in some way to draw closer to God or do what God is asking me to do? Or is it presenting a stumbling block to being the person God is calling me to be or drawing closer to God? If it's making it more difficult, then it is what St. Ignatius calls a desolation. If it's making something more, it's making it easier for me to be that person or draw closer to God, it is a consolation from the Holy Spirit, and that's something we need to listen to.
Now, I want to be super clear on this. We see in Scripture that we're talking about doing the work of taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We see St. Ignatius teaching how to come against desolations. Having these negative thoughts is not sinful. It's the work that we do as people who are redeemed. We don't settle in them. We don't accept them as inevitable because we know that Christ has redeemed us. We know that he loves us. We know that he's given us the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. So we do the work. And sometimes it's a slog. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's hard. But when we commit to taking those steps, step by step, to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ, if we're struggling with that and we have the humility to get help from somebody who can help us reconfigure those thoughts, who can pray with us, who can help us think differently, who can help us see those next positive steps that we can take, that is doing the work that Christ asked us to do so that we can renew our minds in him, become more like him, and draw closer to him.
All right, with that, we have to take our break. But when we come back, more with your calls about overcoming the lies we live by. Whether you're dealing with your own inner critic or other people are running you down, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to respond and overcome the lies that hold you back. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Italy aficionado Teresa Tomio's newest book is now out on the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Teresa Tomio provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how to best to soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Italy's Shrines and Wonders from Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomio, can be purchased at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled The Lies We Live By. Whether you're dealing with your own inner critic or other people are running you down, we want to help you overcome those negative messages that are holding you back. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with June, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana.
Hi, June. Welcome to More to Life.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we sure can.
Hi,
what can we do for you today?
Okay, so a quick little summary. My husband and I have a large family of 10 children, and we opened a business about 5 months ago, and my husband still has his full-time job. And
okay.
It's just a lot of changes this year. And when we first opened the business, it felt really shaky and just like everything was up in the air. And
sure.
We had a lot of anxiety about the kids, about the business. Well, now the business is really doing fantastic. The kids are getting really adjusted well to the school that they're in. But my husband and I, it definitely feels like an attack. It is these constant thoughts, and I'll get better, and he'll feel it more, and then he'll be better, and then I feel it more, that we are just failing. Either we're not spending enough time with the kids, or we're not doing what we need to do for the business, or we're not being healthy enough. Like, there is just this constant torment of there is not. It is impossible, like,
and,
to be.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about how are you trying to deal with those thoughts right now? Like, how what's your process for managing
we've tried a lot of things. For a long time, we would just say, like, Jesus, I trust in you, as many times as we could think. And then I started saying, Lord, I ask that you take this cup from me, but your will be done, not mine. I feel a lot of relief from that prayer. Hmm. But for me specifically, and even my husband, it will wake us up in the middle of the night. And the first thing I think in the morning is like this laundry list of these kind of intrusive thoughts. Like, I don't find that they're happening during a time where I can fully handle them. Like, it's not like while I'm sitting in prayer having these thoughts.
You're right, sure. It's all those random times and when you're least expecting.
And especially when you're like half asleep, because that's prime time for that kind of message. Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of thoughts for how to manage that. I'll give you some resources too. You know, I mean, I think you're right. It is an attack. I mean, this is an example of how, you know, the enemy tries to get in and undermine that confidence, tries to make us feel like we're failing no matter what's going on. I think that what I would suggest to you, though, is that you want to do more of the proactive thinking I was talking about actually with our previous question. You're thinking those things because, so let's just say, you know, you're doing great at work, but then all of a sudden the thought comes to you that you're neglecting your kids. Right. Instead of just trying to either wallowing in it, right, which is the temptation, or trying to tell yourself, oh, it's fine, I don't have to worry about that, I would suggest being proactive about it, bringing it to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, I've got this concern about the kids. I want to make sure that I'm giving them time. Help me figure out how I could do. Is there some small thing I could do either now or, you know, throughout the day to let them know that I love them and that I want to get time with them and be connected with them? And you make a plan. Right, a kind of a grace-filled plan for addressing that thing. Or, you know, you're with the kids, and then you're starting to worry about work, and you just sort of pray, Lord, you know, help me to think about a way to handle that situation with work. Let me come up with a plan for managing that well. And, you know, maybe I can't do that right now, but when I'm done with the game with the kids, I'm going to take 10 minutes and sit down and kind of problem solve this. But it's not the problem that's the desolation. It's the saying that you're failing because there's that problem that's the desolation.
Right, and it may not even be a problem. It may be a concern that in the middle of the night is being blown up like it's on the Jumbotron at the Super Bowl. But when we can say, all right, this is a concern that ran through my head, I can either let Satan take it and steal all my joy, or I can start with that prayer that you were talking about, June, that, you know, take this cup from me, Lord, or Jesus, I trust in you, but couple it with, Lord, help me come up with steps I can take to address this concern if there's a basis in reality. If you feel like you're balancing everything perfectly, guess what, June, no mom does, you just say, okay, just take it away from me. But if you're saying, well, this is a concern that's coming up, if the Holy Spirit is in here anywhere, Holy Spirit, give me steps I can take to address it, even small steps at first.
And then you want to build in some times for planning. So there's actually research that shows that if you take some time before you go to bed with a notebook and you write down some of the big concerns that you've got for the next day, or even some of the concerns that are going through your head, and you come up with some kind of a plan, you don't actually even have to follow through with the plan for your brain to give you a break. It's okay, well, you've thought through that, you have some ideas, okay, I can let you go. But what happens when we don't have a plan is that our brain tries to keep all the tabs open in our head. Because we don't forget those problems, or we don't forget to deal with those concerns. And all those tabs that are open in our brain just use up more and more of our memory, you know, and our energy. And it causes us to feel burned out and like we never can accomplish things. So by actually getting a notebook and writing down, or even just in your phone, writing down a plan, you know, I've identified the concern, I've got some ideas for how I want to handle it, and now I can let that go. So if you do that before bed, then when you wake up in the morning, you just kind of look at that again and you say, all right, here are the concerns that I had last night, and this is what I was thinking about doing it. Do I need to make any adjustments or tweaks here? Is there something on the list that I need to add? What would I do about that? And just have a little prayer and planning time, maybe 5 or 10 minutes with your husband. But just, you know, kind of you start the day getting that in order so that you have a structure both before you go to bed, when you wake up, and then throughout the day as those concerns arrive. Again, you don't either try to dismiss them or get stuck in them. You're proactive about them.
Now, June, I want to invite you to a great support that can help you through thinking through these concerns and coming up with that plan together as a family of 12 people. It's called Catholic Home. That's Catholic H-O-M. It's an app. We accompany parents every day. We answer your questions live on the app. We help you through it, and there's a wonderful plan to help you as a family figure out how to work and play and talk and pray together a little bit every day to help you balance all that stuff that you guys are trying to do and make sure that the faith is the center of the warmth in your home. You're doing great things. You're on the right track. If we can help you out, let us know. But just come up with those steps, and we'll help you do it on that app if you'd like.
Exactly. We'd love to walk with you more on that. So check out, download the Catholic Home app today. That's Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. And become a subscriber to the Catholic Home community. Listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. If you are looking for ways to leave behind the lies that have been holding you back, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.